Amen. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament book of Numbers. And we'll be looking at chapter 11 and looking also a little bit in chapter 9. Let me say, Gene, it's good to see you back today. And any time that somebody returns quickly, it's a sign that you've put in a lot of hard work and a lot of good care from David, right? It's good to have you back, and thank you so much for that blessing and music today. Church, we've enjoyed the Lord's presence and His provision. Amen. As He has replanted us. This past Wednesday, for me, is an excellent example of how the Lord is with us and His blessing, His presence, His provision. As we were gathered for another community cookout, we saw a small multitude of people, kids and young people and adults of all ages who were gathered as we played together and we ate together, laughed together, just shared our lives together. If you want to see a replanted church in action, you just have to be at one of our community cookouts. That's what I say. It wasn't us doing something for them. That's always an important awareness. It's not us helping them. It was just all of us gathered together. Those who are part of the church family at Robertsville, those who are part of the Robertsville community and beyond. And the Lord gave us His Holy Spirit freely to us on Wednesday night through His presence, through His provision, through His power. God has always been trying to give Himself away. Sometimes, though, we're not able to receive what He wants to give. Well, the Lord gave Himself away to us Wednesday night, and I'm so thankful to be able to have that experience together with you once again, and to trust that the Lord is using our time together to not just bless others, but to bless us and to strengthen us for the work that He's doing here among us. This was the experience with that old people of God, the Israelites. God was always trying to give Himself away to them. Moses was the instrument of God to lead them out of Egypt. And along the way, they enjoyed the presence of the Lord and the provision of the Lord, the power of the Lord. Listen to how all of that, the Lord's presence and provision and power, is described in Numbers chapter 9. And I want to just read this passage because it just speaks so much about God's presence. I'm going to read from verse 15 to verse 23. Here, there's such a dependence on the Lord that I want us to hear. On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the covenant law, was set up, the cloud covered it. Now, when the cloud was there, that cloud was the outward visible sign of God's presence. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out wherever the cloud settled. There the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at His command they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp. And then at His command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning. And when it lifted in the morning, they set out, whether by day or by night. Whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped. And at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with his command through Moses. There was such a dependence on the Lord. As I read this passage, it strikes me that the Lord's presence would cause this group of people to set up camp or to tear down camp, to unpack their things or to pack up their stuff and move on. This passage says that sometimes that was a couple of days, sometimes a couple of weeks, sometimes longer than that. Sometimes it was overnight. Now, have you ever been with a loved one traveling or maybe on vacation and you had plans for what that trip was going to be, where you were going to stay, how long you were going to stay there, what activities you were going to do during the day? And then all of a sudden when you're on that trip, everything seems to change and you end up doing something different than what you had planned. Well, it seems to me that this is what the Lord was doing with the Israelites all the time. They would get to a place and set up, unpack everything. Oh, well, the next morning, time to pack back up and let's go. And then they would pack up and go, and then they would the cloud would set over the tabernacle, and it would be there for a week. And so you would unpack and get settled in a little bit more. But then the cloud was ready to go, and so you had to pack up and be ready to move with the Lord. But there was such a closeness with the Lord's very presence there among the people that they were ready to go with the Lord when the Lord was ready to move. So that when the Lord moved, the people moved with the Lord. It's like they were in tune with the Lord. It's like there was a dependence on the Lord that we really don't know where we're headed, Lord, unless you lead us. We don't really know where the journey is taking us, but we are obeying the command to go with you. In tune with the Lord, dependent on the Lord, on what the Lord was doing. And this people, they were always ready to move when the Lord moved. Whether the cloud stayed for 2 days, a month, a year, the Israelites would stay in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, what would they do? Set out. They would set out. There must have been a joy that filled the people as they followed the Lord and as they responded to his moving. But it was more than just obedience to a command. Now, there can be joy in obedience. Knowing that you're doing what God wants you to do. Knowing that you're standing firm on his word when the tempter comes along, there's joy there. There's joy knowing that obedience in your life is a sign of the spiritual growth that you've so desired in your life. So there can be joy with obedience. But I think the joy that I pick up in Numbers 9 is the joy that comes from presence. Not necessarily from obedience. The joy that comes from the presence of the Lord. There must have been a tremendous sense of confidence and security among the people, knowing that God was with them. That his presence seen in the cloud of the Lord meant that God was with them. And not just his presence, but his provision every day. His good provision every day. Now, if you were to go back in the previous chapters from chapter 11 and just kind of get the context of what's happening with this old people of God, what you would see is that they're on a journey with the Lord, and they're moving toward the promised land, okay? And as they go along, the Lord is providing for them. And this is the part of that story where the people are crying out for something to eat. And so every day the Lord gives the day's supply of manna. But then they get tired of that. They begin to complain. even though the Lord's presence and his provision are with the people, who could complain about that? Who could complain about the very presence of God there among you in the camp? You can see it. You know he's there. No wondering about it. Who could complain about God providing daily for your needs through manna? Who could complain about, who could get tired of that? Who could get tired of the goodness of the Lord's presence and provision? But it happened. It happened. In chapter 11, verse 4, the people say this: "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic." Now, we might could do with some of not having some of that, but now we've lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. Can you hear the grumbling and the complaining? Who knows? We might have been in that crowd ourselves. But this manna was from God. There's no doubt about it. God provided it every day. It was his provision. And don't forget the cloud. That was God's presence. God's presence and God's provision. Isn't that what we need in this place? In our lives, in our families? God's presence, God's provision. But we forget. We complain. We digress. We slip and we trip up. We falter in our obedience and in our faith. We lose sight of God's presence. We lose sight of God's provision. You mean we're going to be doing that again? You're kidding me. How many times do we have to do that? You mean to tell me we're eating that again? You're kidding me. Please tell me there's something more to nourish our souls than that. We lose sight of God's presence and provision, even though God is always wanting to give himself to us. And even though God is wanting to be near us, all we can do sometimes seems is complain. We want more, or we want something different, God. And sometimes, even if we were honest, we might say, "Lord, I think I want something other than you for right now." In John 20, in verse 22, Jesus simply breathes on his disciples and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You see, Acts is not the only time that the Holy Spirit is poured out. Jesus simply breathes on his disciples and they receive the Holy Spirit. It's that simple, that easy, that accessible. As the air that you breathe, and you can realize God's presence and God's provision, God's Holy Spirit. Richard Rohr says this about the Holy Spirit as God's presence and provision. I love this quote. It's a little lengthy, so pay attention to it. It's got some good things to say. "The Holy Spirit within us is the desire inside all of us that wants to keep connecting and relating and communing. It isn't above us. The Spirit isn't beyond us. It is within us. It's as available as our breath." And that's why the risen Christ gives the Holy Spirit by breathing upon the disciples. He's saying, in effect, Here it is, guys. Here it is. Can you breathe in what I have breathed out? And as we grow on our journey, we'll begin to experience that breath, that Holy Spirit, as if it is the very air that we breathe. It's everywhere, all the time, and we can't live 1 minute without it. Isn't it amazing that air, the thing that's most essential to life, most invisible to most people, is the one thing that's everywhere, all the time, and it's free. The Holy Spirit, likewise, has been given to us freely. The Holy Spirit is given freely by the Lord. He's even given to folks who we might not think should have him. Look at Numbers 11. And I'm going to read from verse 25 to verse 29. As I read this, keep your eyes open for Eldad and Medad. Now, those are not cartoon characters. Now, these are actually historical figures that are a part of this story. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with Moses. And the Lord took some of the power of the Spirit that was on Moses and put it on the 70 elders. Now, see, the people had been complaining, and Moses was worn out, and he took it to the Lord. And Moses told the Lord, you brought us all out of Egypt, and I'm surrounded by 600,000 men alone. And I'm worn out. I can't care for them. I can't lead them and guide them. And so the Lord comes up with this plan, and he's going to give his Spirit that he's given to Moses and place it upon the elders, 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but did not do so again. What would happen in our church if the Holy Spirit came upon somebody in a way and they felt the Lord was leading them to prophesy? Do we good Baptists know what to do with that? Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm not gonna tell the Holy Spirit what he can and can't do. And when he comes upon someone, if they have a word that they feel like the Lord has given, now there are probably some parameters that make that sort of word profitable to the body and edifying. But in this situation, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon these elders, and it says they simply prophesied. But they didn't do it again, so it was just kind of a one-time thing. Verse 26, however, two men whose names were Eldad and Medad had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but for some reason did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses. Obviously, this young man was put out, couldn't understand what was going on, and he just knew what he was supposed to do about it to stop Eldad and Medad from prophesying. So he was going to run and tell Moses. Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp, Moses. Joshua, we know Joshua, be strong and courageous, that Joshua. He had been Moses' aide since youth. He spoke up and said, Moses, you must stop this. This is Eldad and Medad. You have to stop them. But Moses replied, Joshua, are you jealous for my sake? Joshua, I wish all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit on all of them. Now think what you want to about Eldad and Medad. Sometimes I'm curious about the things that the Scripture doesn't really describe. Why is it that they named these two? Why is it that this is the only place that they appear in all of Scripture? So I'm curious about it, and I begin to kind of play around with it, and I wonder if Eldad and Medad were kind of, you know, the elders that everybody kind of rolled their eyes at. The elders that nobody really thought they were deserving of it, but yet they were elders. Okay. Eldad and Medad. Every church has Eldads and Medads. The Holy Spirit rested on the 70 elders who went to the tabernacle. But the Spirit also rested on Eldad and Medad. For some reason, these two guys did not go out to the tent with the others. They stayed in the camp. Now, you might think staying back in the camp was a disqualifier. Disobedience, maybe. Delayed in getting up in the morning and getting ready. Disordered. Disorganized. Distracted. You know Eldad and Medad. All the things we might think of that keep someone from being selected by God. But the Spirit also rested on them. Yes, they stayed in the camp, and nobody is surprised by that, because we know Eldad and Medad. We knew that they were not going to get out there with the other elders, but we also figured that that probably was going to disqualify them from the Holy Spirit being poured out upon them. But God had something else in mind, and He poured out His Spirit also on those two. And it wasn't just a little drop. They got as much as the others got. Because guess what? Eldad and Medad, they started prophesying too. Can you believe it? Even Joshua insisted on Moses stopping them. How could the Spirit be given so freely by God to two someones who are so undeserving? And Moses tells Joshua to essentially chill out. Chill out, Joshua. Listen, I wish the Lord would put His Spirit on everybody, Joshua. Or maybe another way to say it is this. Joshua, I wish everybody was as hungry as Eldad and Medad for the Lord's Spirit. Because if the Lord's Spirit can be poured out on those two, He can be poured out on anybody. And Joshua, that includes you and me. Church, we're on a journey together with the Lord. And we need His Spirit on us. We need His Spirit among us. When we gather in this room week by week, we need the Holy Spirit right here in our midst, don't we? We need Him in us. We need Him among us. We need Him beyond us. We're seeing Him poured out on different people and in different times and places. He's speaking through our children. He's speaking through our elders. He's touching the lives of our neighbors. He's providing resources for those in need. He's providing spiritual food. We'll call it manna. For hurting and hungry souls. His presence is felt when we're gathered for worship. His presence is felt when we're sharing His word and our lives together in life groups. And He's guiding us to break camp from within these four walls and follow Him out into this Robertsville community. Right outside these walls, right outside this building, out into the community that is near us. And we need and we want His Spirit to rest also on us. Amen. Just two quick ending thoughts. There were two things that happened when the Holy Spirit was poured out on those elders, including me, Dad, and Eldad. Which, by the way, if you go home and your mama wants to know what you heard about in church, tell them you heard about Eldad and me, Dad. Two things that happened when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Number one, they prophesied. Now, I don't know how many people in here have ever prophesied. I don't consider my ministry to be a ministry of prophesying. I see it more as a ministry of exhortation. But there are some people who have a gift when the Holy Spirit is poured out, and He gives a word. Well, these people prophesied. In other words, there was a spoken word. Something came out of their mouth when the Holy Spirit was poured upon them. A spoken word. Maybe it was a spoken word of faith. Maybe it was a spoken word of faith, maybe to Moses, to tell Moses, hey, brother, come on, God is working here. He will take care of all of these people. Do not fear, do not worry. A word of faith spoken to Moses. Maybe it was a word of encouragement to all the other elders. Maybe it went beyond the elders to the people encamped. A word of encouragement. Stay true to the Lord. Walk by faith and not by sight. Don't complain. Don't grumble. The Lord doesn't look at that favorably. Maybe it was a word of encouragement, but it was a spoken word. Maybe it was a word of exhortation. Maybe it was a word of expectation, reminding those old people of God to expect something of God. You see, what do you think a word of prophecy really is? But maybe it was this kind of word. And maybe when the Holy Spirit is poured out on us and on the Eldads and Medads of our church and our community, these are the kinds of words that are spoken. Words of faith, words of encouragement, words of exhortation, words of expectation. So, Lord, pour out Your Spirit. I want to hear some of those words. I need to hear some of those words. But not just that, not only did they prophesy, but they were appointed to help. These elders were appointed to help. In other words, Eldad and Medad, you're going to have to help us, okay? You're a part of this crew, and God has called us to provide help to Moses, and so there's work here to do. They were appointed to help. Now, the word that I want to share with us about that is that God is calling us, perhaps, to new ways of helping. So this kind of help that they were appointed to, it was God called. It was God's idea. It was God called. He brought it up out of these elders. And God will bring up out of us a kind of helping that He has appointed for us at this time in this place. They were appointed to help. It was God called, but it was also Spirit empowered. Spirit empowered. The Lord put the same Spirit that He had placed upon Moses, He placed upon the elders. So it was a Spirit-empowered kind of help. It was Spirit-empowered work. New strength in the bones to do the work of God. New energy, new passion, new desire, new commitment, new purpose. I know why I'm doing this work. It was Spirit-empowered work, but it was also Spirit-empowered wisdom to know how to do the work. I think that those two are important. A lot of times we get busy doing the work, don't always know why, don't ever think about God's way of doing it. And we get busy doing it, end up burning out or other kinds of lesser ends. And we've never consulted with the Lord. Lord, what do You want? How do You want us to work? What do You want us to do? And so it is a Spirit-empowered work and wisdom. Lord, today my prayer is that You would work in us and that You would pour out Your Spirit also on us. That, Lord, You would work in us and that we would, that You would bring forth out of us spoken words of faith and encouragement and exhortation and expectation. That you would appoint to us, Lord, ways to help and to be about your work, a God-called, God-planned work, a Spirit-empowered work, a Spirit-empowered wisdom. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us as we are gathered week by week in worship and praise, as we share in life groups, sharing your word together and sharing our lives together. Lord, as we seek to go out into the community all around us and sow the seeds of the gospel everywhere that we can, Lord, you have always wanted to give yourself away. And so, Lord, through the work of the gospel that we're a part of, might you give yourself away to more and more and more people. Father, to that end, we give ourselves today. I pray that the word that we have paid attention to this morning would fall on our hearts like seed falling on good soil, that it would take root and grow deep in us, and that it would produce fruit in keeping, Lord, with your will for us. To that end, Lord, we pray and desire. In Jesus' name, amen.